Boy, it is good to be in the house of the Lord. Mark chapter number 3. Look with us in verse number 13, if you will. The Bible says, "And he goeth up into a mountain." Now, I'm going to say when it says, "and he," this is speaking of Jesus. It says, "And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. And Simon he surnamed Peter, and James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James. And he surnamed them Barnabas, which is the sons of thunder. And Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas. And James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus and Simon the Canaanite. And Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. And they went into a house." Now I want to say this morning before we go any further. I truly believe this morning for every one of God's, the devil has one too. And you see this morning, just in this short portion of Scripture, you see that Judas got sent just like the other 11. He took part just right therein in the ordination service of the 12, and he was no work to God. But I want you to notice this. It says, "And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him, and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said he hath an unclean spirit." Father, I thank you for this day, and God, I thank you for this time, and Lord, this opportunity to be back in thy house on this beautiful Sunday morning. And God, it's so good to see pews filled, and God, it's so good to see families here. And God, I pray for the next little bit, Lord, that you'd cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, that you'd purge our mind, that you'd wash us whiter than snow. God, that we'd preach with the gospel, with the utterance of the Holy Ghost. And God, that your will would be done upon this place. Lord, I pray for that one that may be here that's lost. God, that Holy Ghost conviction will fall upon that heart. And God, I pray for that one that's divided this morning. God, that you'd draw them ever close. God, that you'd bind them together, Father. And Lord, that we'd see growth. Lord, I love you. Thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' precious holy name we do ask. And all of God's children say it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. As we came into Mark chapter number 3, I want you to notice early in the chapter, you'll see Jesus at the synagogue. You'll see him healing a man's hand. And you'll see out throughout this chapter, and I want you to notice something in this piece of Scripture, that Jesus had already healed many. And the Word of God had done was spread out what Jesus was doing. And I want to say this, you've got that crowd this morning when God begins to bless and God begins to work in a place that he's never worked before and doing things that people's never seen. The first thing that folks will want to do is question whether God is really in it. And I've noticed this, and I'll say this about our Baptist churches. If one church is doing real well, and they're doing real good for the Lord, the other church is going to say, it ain't going to last long. Amen? You ever heard that before? If God's blessing another man in the ministry, another man will say, well, I wish I had what he had. I wish what he was doing, and we'll find fault in whatever's going on. I want to say this morning. I thank God that he blesses other churches, because I want to say this morning, he's a God of the church. We're not separated churches, honey, but we're in this thing together, trying to win the lost for the Lord and trying to preach the gospel. Notice what happens as Jesus brings those together. It says that he called whoever to come on in. And I want you to notice that the Bible teaches that 12 went. There may have been more there, Brother Junior, than just those 12, but he set those 12 apart to be ministers of the things of God. He was ordained ordaining them as preachers. He told them to go out and preach, and he gave them power to heal the sick and to cast out devils and to do the work. You say, preacher, are there people today that are still demonically possessed? I believe that with my uttering being. There are people that have sold out to the devil and live in him that are wickedly possessed that are in this world. Now, I want to say this to you this morning. I read an article last night. I let Anna read it. It was about the gentleman that did the Las Vegas shooting. And the first top of the article said that he was suspected that he had a mental illness. Boy, I don't know who that Sherlock Holmes was, but they did good. You say, preacher, why is that? A man cannot be himself and kill that many people without something being wrong. And you say, preacher, what's happening? I'm telling you this morning, we need to be careful as Christians at what we allow to come in on our TVs. We need to be careful as Christians what we allow these ears to hear. I'm telling you, we're living in one of the wickedest days that you've ever seen. We're seeing a wicked people in America. Listen to me. I'm telling you this morning, what we're seeing on TV is infiltrating our young people's mind and causing mental illness and sickness like we have never seen. And we are feeding the very devil of this world, and he is growing in our homes, and this is what we have accomplished through our televisions. Now, I'm telling you this morning, TVs are not wrong. Honey, computers are not wrong. Cell phones are not wrong. But it's what we allow that comes through them that touches our very inner being. Honey, I'm telling you this morning, we're living in a sick world and a dying world and a world that's dying and going to hell without Jesus. Honey, it ain't like it was 30 years ago. It ain't like it was 40 years ago. Hey, but I'm telling you this morning, in the wicked day we're living in, honey, the church ain't going down. We're leaving out of here one of these days, and I promise you, the world will be divided. I want you to notice what he done. He called these 12, and he ordained them. And I want you to notice, even Judas Iscariot, and Mark wrote this in 1 Timothy 19, Judas had yet to betray Christ, but he was already marked. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 19, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him, they went into a house. It says they came off of the mountain and they were going about their business, and the Bible says they went to a house. I want you to notice what happens when he gets to that house. The Bible says, and the multitude cometh together again. Boy, they was just flocking around Christ. They were just getting as close as they could to him, and the crowd began to grow. How did it grow? It says so much so that they could not as so much eat bread. They got in there so tight. Boy, they couldn't even eat their victuals. Boy, wouldn't it be good in the house of the Lord that we just packed in here so tight that you couldn't move? Some of you say, preacher, I don't know if I could do that. Well, listen to me, honey. Boy, these people wanted to get close to Christ. These people wanted to flock to where he was at. These were the ones that were sick and diseased. These were the ones that wanted to get close to him. But I want you to notice something this morning. This was the same crowd that hung him on Calvary. Boy, these were the same ones. Boy, that was bragging about him in the community. Was the same ones that was walking by and wagging their heads looking at him. These are the same ones, boy, that couldn't get close enough to him. That was the ones casting him out of their city. You say, preacher, what happens? I'm going to tell you this. You won't take long and you'll find out who's really got it and who ain't. You'll find out real quick who are the ones that really wants him and who are the ones that really don't want him. You say, preacher, why is that? Honey, I'm telling you, it's more than just coming to church on Sunday. It's more than just coming to church on Wednesday. It's a daily walk with him. It's a daily study with him. It's a daily covenant with him. Honey, I'm telling you, it's not every day do I feel like I'm saved. It's not every day do I feel like I'm a preacher, a pastor. But I'm glad he's faithful. I'm glad he's just. I'm glad he's never broke a promise. And he's always there with me, honey. I'm telling you, when the tough gets a going, he comes on in and keeps a going. Amen. I want you to notice this. The Bible says, verse number 22, and the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath a Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. You know what I found out in this ministry? Is all the people that never go to church, that never darken the doors on Sundays, that never do anything for the Lord, are the ones that knows what a preacher is supposed to be like. Y'all all right? Are the ones that knows how the church ought to operate. They'll say this. If that church really cared about the community, them people wouldn't be going home hungry. They're the same ones that ain't never fed them to start with. Well, a preacher ought not say that, or a preacher ought not act that way, or a deacon ought not that. Boy, that crowd that never gets involved is the ones that's got it all figured out. You say, preacher, what do you got? You know, this morning we got some of them sitting on the very pews of Baptist churches across America. They know what everybody else ought to be doing. They know how the preacher ought to preach. They know how the choir ought to sing. They know how the youth pastor ought to teach his youth. They know how the pianist ought to play. They know how the revival ought to go. They know how the offerings should be used. They know how the tithes ought to be used. They know how missions ought to be. But they never give to the offering plate. They never give to the missionaries. They've never sung in the choir. They've never come to revival. They've never said amen on the pew. They've never supported the young man preaching. They've never supported the pastor. But boy, they know how it all had or how it all to operate. You say, preacher, what happened? Christ was doing a great work. This was the Son of God. And that legalistic crowd, and that crowd that knew how everything ought to operate, said, well, he ain't coming God. He's casting out devils with devils. Now, I want you just to ask yourself right now, how much sense that really makes when you hear it said? He's casting out devils with devils. Well, Brother O'Dean, if he was casting that devil out with the devil, wouldn't he be casting the devil right back into the man that threw the devil out? I just confused some of y'all. Y'all going to be thinking about that at 2 o'clock. That sounds like something Maria Suits would say, wouldn't it? He just casted the devil out of a devil, and he threw a devil right back in. Now that makes a lot of sense, don't it? Brother Jim goes, So it sounded ignorant, but boy, they was sure of it. And then you got that crowd, Brother David, that's trying to find a fault in it. And they said, boy, you're right. He's casting out devils with a devil. You know something? Before we say anything about any preacher or any church, we might want to think what we're saying before how we say it. You say, why is that? Honey, when we're being critical of what everybody else is doing, and we're fussing about how they're doing it and why they're doing it that way, listen to me, we may not know just because God's working in a way we've never seen, and because God's working in different people than we've ever seen. Honey, I'm telling you this, God doesn't have to work by the bounds of man. He doesn't have to work by our thoughts and our processes. He's a God of infinite power, and He can work in any way He wants to work. And honey, if people are getting saved and God's on it and God's blessing it, quit finding fault in what God's doing. Yeah. Preacher, God ain't never done like that here before. Well, listen to me. Look how God's worked here and not in other places like before. I want you to notice something. We're going down real quickly, and I've got to move on. Matthew said he's hungry today. Me too. Amen. David's hungry. The Bible says this, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. He said, and if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. Now I understand this morning that Jesus was, when he was said these words, he was speaking of demonic forces, but he gave us some things that could help the church and could help the home of a Christian and could help the marriage of a husband and wife when he simply said a house that is divided against itself. Listen to me, you wouldn't believe of the houses in America that are divided against themselves. Honey, I'm telling you this morning,
I know that Jesus was speaking against Satan himself, and he went down and he said, if Satan be divided against himself, he cannot stand but hath an end. I'm going to say this to you this morning. If your house is divided, there's an end coming. And I'm telling you this morning, if you're here and you're divided against yourself, there's an end coming. And honey, if the church is divided and pulling one direction, another direction, honey, it ain't going to be long before it falls out and the doors get shut on the churches these days. Honey, I'm telling you this morning, it's through Jesus Christ and through His blood that I am what I am. It's not what I've accomplished. It's not what Rhonda Tabernacle's accomplished. It's through the grace of God and through the power of God and through the unction of the Holy Ghost. It's only by Him we're here today. I want you to notice He said a house. Number one this morning, a house divided. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse number 14, it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, I know this morning what that is meaning, and I know what it's saying, and I'm going to try to help our young people right here, right now. Honey, I'm telling you right now, listen to me. If all you do is bicker and argue right now, you better not get married.
That's right. Amen and amen.
Because I'm going to tell you something. About 6 months after marriage, that wasn't a woman I married. A week, Brother David, after she married me, that wasn't the man she married.
I'm with you, bro.
It didn't take her as long to figure it out. Honey, I'm going to tell you, we've had our arguments, and we've had our spats, and we've had our issues, but honey, I'm telling you, we're living in a generation where you got the Catholic marrying the Pentecostal. You got the Satanic marrying the Baptist. Honey, I'm telling you, they're not yoked together in like faith. And honey, there's houses divided because they were never together on a firm foundation to ever start with. Honey, I'm telling you, we've made a mockery of marriage from our young people to our senior adults. And I will say this to you this morning, and listen to me. If you don't have a solid foundation and start the marriage on the principles of the Word of God in the book of Genesis where God ordained marriage between Adam and Eve, and if we don't start there, it will fall when the storms come and raging and the house is built upon the sand and the waves beat vehemently. I'm telling you, there's trouble lying ahead for a married couple like they've never seen before. There's issues coming on. And honey, I'm telling you, if it's not together, it'll fall.
That's right. Amen.
Now we're going somewhere. What you think of this? Brother Joe and Miss Stephanie, I was talking to them Friday night. And I did her counseling. I did some of the others. And one of the first things I always ask is, are you saved?
That's right.
I'll ask each one of them. Brother Joe remembers that. And I wanted them to give their testimony in front of one another. And some of you this morning, you've never heard your husband's testimony, how he got saved. Some of you have never heard your wife's testimony, how they got saved. Honey, I'm going to tell you, it'd do you some good to hear about it. To know that you know your spouse is saved. To know that you're settled. Honey, I'm telling you, I've heard it said, I've had couples ask me to marry them. Honey, they ain't in church. One of them's going to church, and the wife or the husband that is to be will say, well, I'm praying. If we get married, I can help them get into church. No, you ain't. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to get out of church. Honey, I'm telling you, you need to make sure when you marry somebody that y'all are together. Sure, me and Anna Louise, we argue. Honey, Brother James Cox will tell you, me and him have decided we just like to debate. We get together and we drive Miss Brittany crazy, Miss Anna crazy. They're like, well, y'all just stop. Brother Bud, we ain't getting mad at each other. But it's just like this. If my mama's watching a football game and she's pulling for the Carolina Panthers and they're playing the New England Patriots, y'all didn't even let me finish. Brother Jeff doesn't help me out there. Win, lose, or draw, I'm going to pull for that other team. You say, why? My wife likes to watch Duke basketball. And there ain't nothing ever been in the history of my life that's when South Carolina Gamecocks thumped them last year. Amen. Some of you Carolina fans ought to jump on that bandwagon. You say, what happened? It got to be about halftime. And I'm going to tell you this, something this morning. We were sitting there in the chair. I had my South Carolina blanket draped over me. She had her Duke blanket dropped over her. Honey, we had the sound bar on. We was really into the game. And it got to halftime. And she said, don't say a word. You say, what happened? It was all in good fun. Honey, when it was over, it was all in good fun. But I'm telling you this morning, there's some things before a couple gets married. And before you have children, honey, you need to get together and agree on some things. That you're going to raise that baby in church. You're going to give that baby to God. Honey, that you're going to keep it in the house of God. And when you get married, you're going to put God first. And everything else will fall in place. Honey, I'm telling you, if he'll be the center, high and lifted up, everything else will be all right. A house divided cannot stand. Do you know this morning there's a difference between a house and a home? Do you realize that? There is a difference between a house and a home. You say, preacher, how is that? I'm going to be honest with you. When me and my wife was getting married and we looked at houses, they were houses. But we got a home. You say, why is that? Honey, it's not about the structure itself. It's about the very being in the place of the house and inside that structure, a place of safety, a place of peace, a place of love. Honey, the same thing goes for the house of God. You can have a church. You can have a building. But for it to be God's church, there's got to be something on the inside that's different than the rest of them. Honey, I like to come to church and feel a place where I'm loved and feel a place where I belong and feel a place that people love me, and to feel the Spirit of God makes a church. Got two other things and I'm done. A house divided will fall. There's an end to it. A heart divided. Gospel of St. Luke chapter 16 and verse number 13 records this, and I'm paraphrasing it for the sake of time. You cannot serve two masters. For you either love one and hate the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, I'm paraphrasing that this morning. You say, what's that mean? There's a lot of Christians' hearts that wants to hang on to the world and hang on to God. They want to hold on to God right here, but they still want to hang on to the worldly things. Listen to me, honey. I'm going to tell you this. You can't fully get God till you let go of this sin over here. You can't fully be blessed till you completely let go of that world and that sinly nature. Honey, you say, preacher, for all of sin to come short of the glory of God, but it ought to be a Christian's heart not to want to dwell in sin, not want to be in sin. The Apostle Paul said, shall we continue in sin? God forbid. He said, when you left it alone and you come to the knowledge of grace of God, honey, you left those things behind. Let go and let God.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you this. I've seen it happen, Christians say, preacher, I just don't know how much more I can take. Boy, you know, when everything goes wrong, that's when you really see how close they are to God. Preacher, I don't know how much more I can take. It just seems like nothing good's going on. But you know what the problem is? They're trying to hang on to God and all these other things. They're trying to let God fix it. But they got all these other things they really don't want to let go. I'll say this, that we was talking the other day at work. And I was talking about tobacco and different things. And one of the gentlemen spoke up and he said this. He said, my wife, and I said it too. Boy, she fussed at me. You need to quit dipping. You need to quit dipping. You need to quit this or you need to quit that. The more anybody fussed at me, the more I wanted to do it. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
The more she said something about it, Brother Bud, the more I wanted to do it.
Hey.
It's like eating. Somebody say, some of you, help. Yeah, I know we ain't got many around here, but and I don't even think we got any. Y'all all look pretty healthy to me. Preacher, you're not eating that cheeseburger. It's going to go right to your hips. I hope so, because I hope it builds some muscle, because I can't hang on a tree like I did. Preacher, you ought not. My grandma and my granny, you'd eat a burger at 9 o'clock. She'd say, bless God, I don't know how you eating that. That's going to lay in your gut and rot all night long. Anybody ever said that? Amen. Some of y'all nodding. You know what, Brother David? The more they say don't eat it, the more I want to eat it. The more they tell me how bad it is for me, oh, the better it's going to taste. The more they fuss at me that I really shouldn't have it, Brother Joe, the more I can't wait to get that greasy cheeseburger. Honey, I'm going to tell you this. I sit at my kitchen table this morning at 2:45. I ate a chicken quesadilla. I ate a cheddar-style burger. I ate fries. And I drank a Coca-Cola at 2:45 this morning. You say, what happened? I didn't need to eat breakfast. Preacher, what in the world was you doing? Honey, we got ready to leave at 8:30, and we had a mercy that came up with a dog and had to carry him to Winston. And we took Brooke and my mom and daddy's, and I held him in the back seat of the truck all the way there. And we got done, and I said, you hungry? She said, yeah. I mean, I hadn't eaten nothing since 11 o'clock yesterday morning. And the only thing I'd eat, Brother Bud, was an apple about 2 o'clock. And you say, what happened? I said, you want to go to McDonald's? I was trying to think what was open at 1 o'clock in Winston on a Saturday or Sunday morning. And she said, cookout's open. I said, that sounds good. And you say, what happened? I ate that cheeseburger. I went home, took a bath. I ate the cheeseburger and them fries and quesadillas, and I drank. I went and crawled in that bedroom, and I slept till about 9 o'clock this morning. Preacher, did it rot in your gut? Nope. But it tasted good about 3 o'clock this morning. You say, well, I have. Oh, preacher, you're not be eating that late. Listen to me. The more you tell me that, the more I want to eat it. You tell a child, don't play in the fire, what's the first thing they do? Boy, that old saying is, boy, you play in that fire, you're going to wet in the bed. I ain't never had it happen to me, and I like to play in the fire. Mama will get around, she'll tell me and Daddy, she'll say, y'all going to burn the world down. The more she fusses about us building a fire, the more I want to build one. Me and Daddy will just build a fire to build a fire. It's October, he comes over to the house, 60 degrees. He's like, you want me to build a fire in that wood stove? I'm like, no. He's like, you sure? I'm like, no. You say, what happens, honey? I'm telling you this morning, our Christians are the same way. I've learned the more you fuss at them when they're drinking and they're doping, the further they're going to get out in it. But honey, the very moment you start loving them and tell them about the grace of God and how good a God we serve, and honey, if they're saved, how good tree can I bear evil fruit? And you start showing them the goodness of God and quit fussing about what they're doing, they'll turn to Him and let go and let God. I'll give you this and I'm done. A church that's divided has an end. I'm going to say this to you and I'm going to get done. A church cannot have more than one senior pastor. Love my dad. He's our assistant. He respects that. But you take a church where the assistant pastor gets jealous of the senior pastor and starts to cause strife and starts to pull it, it ain't long that church falls apart. Right. Brother Joe's working with our youth pastor. He is our youth pastor, but there's one head. Brother Joe does well with that and submits to that and feels his role, and my dad feels his role as assistant pastor. Do you realize this morning, Brother O'Dane, you're a deacon. You're a servant to the people. Our Southern Baptist churches are teaching, listen to me, are teaching. Now, I'm not knocking Southern Baptists, but this is what they teach. The preacher is called there to preach, and the deacons run the church. Yeah. It's not biblical. You know what the deacons are supposed to do, Brother Bud? If I'm wrong, you get me after service. They were ordained in the book of Acts to be a servant to the people so the men of God could study and preach, and they were to wait tables. I want to say this. A deacon's job is to be a servant to the people. He is to assist the pastor in leading the church. Do you realize who is supposed to lead the church? Christ. And Christ has ordained the pastor as the under-shepherd in direction of the church with the benefit of the deacons and the youth pastor and the assistant pastor to lead the church for a common goal. You know what the common goal of the church is?
to see people saved, to see the backslid reclaimed, and to see the church move on for the glory of God. You say, well, preacher, I just disagree with that. I disagree with that. Listen to me. A church that is divided will fall. When you've got one head pulling one direction, and you've got a head pulling this direction, something bad is going to happen. The people are going to follow one. There's going to be sides during the church. Listen to me. There's not sides in the church. There's lost and saved, but there's no sides. You say, preacher, how do you know that? I'm going to give you this and I'm done. Go with me, 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 17. The Bible says, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Apostle Paul said, the church at Corinth, he said, you're not settled. You're not founded upon these things. And he says, you've got one group going this way and one group going that way. You know what happens when that happens? We give place for Satan. You see, Christ is no longer in the church because it's divided. The devil wants nothing more to do than to divide you, husband and wives, to divide you, children against parents, to divide them, and nothing more than to split the church down the middle. Why? Because if he splits the church, the focus comes off of preaching to sinners and reclaiming the backslidden. It becomes trying to hold it together, and you can't hold it together. So, preacher, why did you say this? My common goal with Brother Joe and my dad is to see the growth of the church, not only in number, but in spirituality. Some of you is going to say, preacher, we've never done it like that before. Listen to me. Honey, we're going to stay with the old-fashioned. But honey, I'm realizing today we've got a generation that you've got to reach in different ways, and God has given us every tool to use. And we're going to use them. You say, why is that? Because if we're not reaching them, the devil is. And you say, preacher, why is that? Brother Joe's doing an outstanding job. I told him, I said, I got you back. He supports us. Our common goal for this church is to grow for the glory of God. To see people get saved. See families get in. You say, how are you going to achieve that, Brother Joe? We're going to love them. Dad, we're going to pray for them. We're going to encourage them. We're going to encourage them to get their homes together. Listen to me. You get your houses right, the church will get right. You get your heart right, your house will get right, and the church will get right. You say, why? Because if one's divided, they're all three divided. And these three are one. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Miss Jody's going to come play an invitation.